It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. For a certain category of person, it may be the most famous window in the Midwest, or at least in Midwestern rock music. In 1999, the Urbana band American Football released its self-titled debut album and have achieved a sort of lasting cult status in the emo genre ever since. The album cover was iconic as well. It features a photograph of a glowing bedroom window on the second story of a house in Urbana, lit up against a greenish night sky. The white siding looks like any you'd find on an older farmhouse-style home in Illinois, and in the right viewer, it evokes a certain feeling of Midwestern nostalgia. The house on the album cover is 130 years old. Google Maps has designated it a cultural landmark, and now it's an Airbnb. It was purchased by members of American Football, along with their record label, Polyvinyl, photographer Atiba Jefferson, and Chris Strong. Chris is the photographer who took the house photo that became iconic for that generation of music fans, and he joins us now from Chicago. Chris, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for being with us. And we are also joined by Matt Lunsford, who is the co-founder of Polyvinyl Records in Champaign. Matt, welcome. Thank you for being here as well.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me.
And listeners, you can join us today for this part of the show at 800-222-9455. Maybe you are an American Football fan. Have you made the trek to Urbana to see the house? Would you consider staying there now? Let us know. 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. All right, Matt, take us back to 1999, 25 years ago. Hard to believe, but 25 years ago. What was the response to this debut from American Football back then?
So taking us back to 1999, at that point in time, Polyvinyl Records, which is the independent label that my wife Darcy and I co-founded in 1996, was just 3 years old. The American Football album was one of our very first releases. We're an upstart record label here in Champaign-Urbana. We put the album out in fall of 1999.
And what was the critical reception like? I'm trying to remember, you know, this is, I happen to be in college at that time too. We're still in the CD era primarily. Napster was a thing, sure. But this is years before iPods and iTunes and all the digital music revolution.
Yep. It was a very fascinating story because part of Darcy and I's reason for having the label was to kind of document the scene, and American Football had made an album and while they're in college, and their plan was to part ways after college, but we still wanted to release the album to document it and share it with the world. And it was a very small CD only album release by basically with a local label by a local band.
And yet it has this sort of kind of takes off, right? Talk about that. Talk about the sort of critical and yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Yep. The album over the years became very influential to a lot of other artists. It became kind of a cult favorite record as Polyvinyl grew, and we continued to champion the record and have it available in our catalog. We definitely saw the album grow in popularity over about the next 15 years, as well as the Chris's image of the front cover of the house, until finally in 2014, the band finally got back together and played their first show in 15 years.
Amazing. You know, I'm reminded of that line about, I think it was the Velvet Underground, which is like not many people heard them, but everyone who did started their own band. Chris,
100%.
Chris Strong, let me bring you into the conversation now. So you took that photo on the album. Talk about finding that shot. What appealed to you about that window, to the extent you can take us back there? You're walking down the street, you've got your camera. What are you thinking?
Well, actually, that I lived there, so I wasn't, I just kind of went out into the front yard. I was shooting a lot of stuff at that time on large format, just of things in the area. It was when I was doing it was less about that particular image versus the body of work that I was working on. I do remember I used to do this thing when I was shooting back then, maybe I still do now, but I was just really aware of it back then. I would hear this tone in my head sometimes, like maybe like I don't know, it's just like a mood that I would get from certain images. And I don't know. I don't remember what I was going for with that image exactly, but
Well, you mentioned the body of work, so this is intriguing, and this is again, this is the pre-digital era, at least for the vast majority of photographers. Maybe there were some with some very expensive early digital cameras in the late 90s, but this is analog format. What were you shooting, right? The U of I is a rich tapestry for
Oh, yeah.
photographers. A lot of people love, you know, Larry Canfor made an entire career out of beautiful photographs of U of I sites and buildings, but it doesn't sound to me like what you were going for.
Yeah, I mean, I was going for, well, with a large format camera, every image is, probably a half an hour of time plus $10 or $20 in film and Polaroid. So it's every, I feel like images required a bit more time and focus, and you had to really want to take the photo back then and dedicate at least a little bit more than just walking by and photographing something with a handheld digital camera these days. So it's more a contemplative process. Like you set up a camera, you're looking at it upside down, projected on the back of the camera body up on the ground glass. This is a much slower process. You had to be more committed to the image, I think, when you're working that way. And in terms of what the body of work was, I feel like it was, I know that it was spring when it was shot, and I was really into, I feel like I was trying to capture this sense of transition, because it was towards the end of college. Well, I had 2 senior years. That was my first senior year. I didn't realize I was going to have another one.
I
But
feel you on that, yes.
yeah. So I feel like it was this sense of transition and longing. I had recently met my future wife, so I was very much in love. I don't know. The transition, I think, was it. But I would shoot a lot of stuff around town, like sort of on the edges of town, because Champaign-Urbana turns the fields pretty quick in any direction. So a lot of that stuff was sort of on the outskirts of town, mixed in with a few images from inside the city, but yeah.
Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We are talking about what's become known as the American Football House in Urbana. Google Maps has designated it a cultural landmark, but more to the point, for music fans, especially emo music fans, it's been a cultural landmark and a place that people have paid tribute to. I should say, pilgrimage. That's the word I'm looking for. They've made pilgrimages to visit the house. Even Lil Nas X tweeted about it. We're talking about this with Chris Strong, who's the photographer who took that iconic photo for the band when he was a student at the U of I, and Matt Lunsford, co-founder of Polyvinyl Records, which is releasing an album of American football covers in October. You can join us at 800-222-9455. Matt, talk about the role of this house. The band didn't actually live there, but it may have been sort of a, or it's thought to be that, like, Sleater-Kinney, the Riot Girl punk rock band, might have, you know, played at the house. Talk about the role of the house in the Urbana music scene.
Sure. The house has been, first off, because of its location, it's only a couple of blocks from campus. It's in a very walkable area of Urbana where a lot of students live. And there's been decades of shows and house shows and parties, and there used to be a half pipe in the backyard, and there's definitely been rumors that of all sorts of bands playing there over the years. And many of those shows are not super well publicized. They're very DIY types of shows. So I think that there's countless numbers of basement shows and backyard shows and things that have happened there that are all somewhat difficult to document in retrospect. I think that one of the most unique and interesting things we found out about the house was that during the 80s and 90s, Fred Krauss, who's the father of musicians Victor Krauss and Alison Krauss, actually owned the house, and I believe even owned it. Either he or Victor owned it during the time that Chris lived there in the early 2000s.
So a few years ago, people rallied to save this house. The Urbana City Council was considering some zoning changes that would have led to the creation of condos or apartments that we've seen pop up all around the U of I campus. Talk about, Chris, talk about what was done to try and to prevent that in this evolution into now a place where people can book it out on Airbnb.
I actually got a message, an Instagram message from the owner in August of 2022, asking me if I wanted, just letting me know that it was going to be up for sale. And I was not at that point. They're buying a house is just not even in the cards at all. So I brushed it off, you know, just like impossible. But I did forward it on to my friend Matt, just joking. My friend Matt Kellen, who I know a few Matts. I have two Matts. my friend Matt Kellen, I just forwarded him just joking, like, hey, why don't you buy this place? And I don't know, maybe Matt Lunsford can fill me in, because it's fuzzy. I think we just started all kind of joking about it through text messages and stuff. And yeah, then it kind of got serious when there were enough people involved where the risk was spread out. You know, I definitely couldn't have done it alone. I don't know if any of us would have wanted to do it alone, but with all of us involved, it seemed like it might actually be realistic, you know?
Yeah, Matt,
agreed.
Yeah. Matt Lunsford and Darcy have been doing pretty much most of the work.
We have just about a minute left. So go ahead, Matt, talk about that, the decision to make this place where people can stay.
Yeah. As Chris said, when we heard that there's the possibility that it may be rezoned and then it would be going up for sale, even though the first rezoning was turned down by the city, we thought, who knows what happened in the future. And with enough of us together, we thought it would be a really fun project for a group of folks that have all known each other for like more than 25 years to own a house together.
Fascinating. All right. Well, Matt, just super briefly, we've been talking about this original album photo. It's become iconic. And now there's going to be a new version of this album, covers by other artists. Briefly, they include Blonde Shell, Iron and Wine. Can you just tell us briefly how that came together?
Yeah, this is the 25th anniversary of that first American football album. And we thought something special and interesting to do would be to get nine artists to cover each of the nine songs on the original album as a tribute to the album to release this fall for the 25th anniversary.
Excellent. All right. Matt Lunsford is the co-founder of Polyvinyl Records. Chris Strong is an Emmy Award-winning photographer and videographer based in Chicago. Matt, Chris, thanks so much for being with us and sharing this story again today on the 21st Show.
Thank you.
And we are going to go out with one of the covers from this forthcoming album. This is Never Meant, the song we heard at the beginning, but being sung here by the band Iron and Wine. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again on Monday.